financially affordable. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE today to enroll now. Leave your contact info for someone to reach out to you today. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. You will be glad you did. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for joining us on the broadcast today. Looking forward to your dialogue and discussion. That telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. I'm calling the issue today, warning to all Christians, warning to churches, pastors, Christian school, Christian counselors, Christian daycares, Christian professionals, business people, that today we're witnessing a culmination and a good identification of what God's Word says in the 24th chapter of Matthew and what Jesus has already said in warning His disciples of what will take place in our lives. Let me read that again. John the 15th chapter and the 18th verse. If the world hates you, speaking to Christians, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And then in the 20th verse, if they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. We're witnessing Christian persecution, the morals and ethics and values of Christians being persecuted and prosecuted today more than ever, I believe, in the history of my lifetime. I'm looking at the headline, Protect Herself. The case of a boy whose demand to shower with girls now at the Supreme Court takes a horrible turn. The legal fight between a boy who says he's a girl and insists on being on their sports team, changing with them, and showering with them, a case now pending before the Supreme Court, has taken a horrible turn. 2 families from the school district have come forward with detailed allegations accusing him of sexually harassing the girls on those teams. The West Virginia case is one of those 2 similar situations now pending before the U.S. Supreme Court on transgenderism, an ideology promoted by Joe Biden throughout his entire term at the White House. It goes on to name the people, the participants, and what is taking place. And because the girls have complained about it, all of a sudden they're being blamed as the ones that are the perpetrators and the problem. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not just a sexual issue. That's not just a moral issue, though it is. It is a Christian issue, and it's as a result of the morals and ethics and values in the society that's been layer after layer after layer for centuries as a result of God's Word and God's Word setting the standard. That standard is now being eviscerated. That standard is now being rejected. That standard, the standard of God's Word, is now being denied and rejected on every level by local courts, appeals courts, and superior courts. Yes, God's Word stands. And it will stand. The church, God's promise, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But ladies and gentlemen, that does not mean that we'll not face battles and the enmity from the left, the enmity from the enemy of Satan himself. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a headline that says, violence ensued after Seattle Mayor Pitts, Antifa against Christians. Christian organizations and churches wanted to hold a praise and worship service at a local Seattle park. But city officials engineered a chaotic scene enabling Antifa and the radical LGBTQ activists to attack the peaceful Christians. Worshippers were pelted with urine-filled water balloons. A 17-year-old kid had a knife pulled on him because he was praying. Children and the elderly were sexually accosted. Christians were attacked and beaten by masked Antifa members and drag queens, all because Seattle officials purposely decided to set these church members up for disaster, then blamed the Christians for the violent Antifa and LGBTQ attacks. Let me just give you a little brief. It's a 5-page article. I'm truncating it for the air. Christian organizations and churches planned a series of nationwide public worship services, including one in Seattle called May Day. The events were intended to praise the Lord and sound an alarm for Christians to pray for our country. Seattle city officials refused to grant the permit for the park the Christians had chosen. Instead, they ordered them to hold their event at a park in the well-known LGBTQ neighborhood. The churches had no choice. Either hold their event in the heart of the LGBTQ community and receive a permit, or not have the meeting at all. The worshipers arrived at their permitted time and for their event, but what they intended for prayer and praise quickly turned into chaos and violence. The LGBTQ and Antifa rioters arrived at the park dressed in black and wearing face masks to hide their identities. They soon began assaulting the Christians. The entire milieu was caught on video, giving evidence of exactly who enacted the violence. 23 LGBTQ and Antifa protesters were arrested, but Seattle's Democratic mayor blamed the Christians for causing the chaos and the calamity, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know that I could put my finger on a greater primary example, prima facie evidence, as the courts would call it, of what would be called Christian persecution than that one example. And that's just one out of thousands that are taking place, cases across America today. Some hit the news, some do not. But ladies and gentlemen, it's a warning to Christians that we're witnessing the doors closing to soon be a preventative for Christian activity in our churches and public streets by preaching and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, there's a little relief today because Donald Trump is in office. If Trump had not gone in office, we would have already faced the doors being closed in our faces, if you please, in America for the freedom of religion to be expressed. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about warning to the Christians. Bibles are banned in schools. Jesus is banned. 10 Commandments are illegal in the public square. Prayers at school are rejected. Christian bakers and florists and wedding planners, Christian photographers and other Christian business people are facing prison sentences and prosecution because it counters the LGBTQ agenda. Christians are now being persecuted and prosecuted in some states. Simply, if a Christian stands out in some places, if a Christian stands out in front of an abortion clinic, says nothing, no signs, just standing there silent, eyes closed with head bowed, it is assumed that that person is praying and that person is a Christian, and therefore in some cases they're being persecuted and prosecuted and threatened and demanded to leave the premises. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a danger before us and we're set escalating before our eyes. We can't sit down. We can't be silent. We can't just simply be submissive to what we see taking place. We must be active. We must be verbal, vocal, and let others know what we're saying and doing is according to the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, Christians are having to endure the Islamic prayer towers. I touched on that earlier in the preamble to my opening statements this morning. But as we look at what is taking place, listen, do you realize in Dearborn, Michigan, the Islamic jihadists will pray on their prayer tower loudspeakers 5 times a day. Do you realize that prayer starts at 3:30 in the morning? Picture now, let me ask a question, hypothetical of course. What if a Christian church, what if our church simply put up a bell tower and a loudspeaker system, and at 3:30 we started ringing the bells, rejoicing and praising the Lord Jesus Christ, and praying a Christian prayer that the entire community could hear it? How long do you think that would be allowed by the sound ordinance in Jacksonville, Florida? How long do you think that would be allowed in Dearborn, Michigan? How long do you think that would be allowed in any city in any state across America? But it is allowed for the Islamic jihadists because the mindset is that's their religion and we cannot foreclose or prevent their religious activities. They're giving deference when we're being defrauded of our rights and liberties as Christians today in America. Ladies and gentlemen, cities and states are being taken over by the Islamic jihadists. Open communist now in New York City being the one that is leading. I'm looking at headline. I touched on a portion of this article yesterday. Bishop Robert Barron, a prominent Catholic leader, slammed the socialist New York City Mayor Zohran Mamdani, an inauguration line promoting the warmth of collectivism, saying, "God, for God's sake, spare me." The line prompted immediate backlash from many conservatives who expressed alarm at such a phrase being used. And it goes on in the massive article talking about those two terms being used, where he's basically praising communism and a, how would you say, a socialist voice, but he is an Islamic communist, socialist Marxist, that's now in position of leadership of 8.5 million people in New York City. You witness, you watch, and I'm here warning us today that we'll notice in the next 12 months, at the very latest, the next 12 months, we'll find the open persecution and prosecution and closing of doors of Christian opportunity to voice their position openly before the city of New York. I believe we have Lily on the line. Lily, go over the question or comment, please.
Thank you very much, Dr. Youngblood. Yes, this is not the beginning. It's like the culmination coming up to America. We are at this stage, as we look at witnessing it in New York, not only New York, but across the nation, the development that has been taking place. And we all of us know that it didn't come overnight. It has been coming incrementally, gradually over the years. Mm-hmm. It's gradual. And as you keep believers, Christians, we need to stand up, speak up, be strong, stand up. And I realize that because of what has been coming on gradually over the years, Christians, we have to take the blame, the church, so-called church, that was not standing up and paying attention. And now things have reached the stage where now the forces of darkness, the powers of hell, has come together now, and America. And the focus is on getting this country where the powers of darkness want it. You need to get rid of everything that is called godliness. The plan is to rid this culture completely of the name of Jesus Christ and the Judeo-Christian values that we have been should have been representing over the years and now hold dear to our hearts. We know that this is where things reached clear. That we got it's gone very far. The question: what must believers do is a big question, because we really know that it's the culmination. It has been gradually coming, and it reached a very bad state now that it's going, it's around us. It's around us. Canada and Great Britain, our close neighbors and friends over the years, they are held in the shackles of darkness. And America at this time, this is where we are. Nobody could tell us we could come to a state like where the confusion and where are the believers? Where are where is the church? We know the Bible, so the gates of hell. So the true church is there. But Jesus tells us that it's few, straight and narrow, and few and the broad way to destruction. So believers need to make up their mind what they're doing and be identified in what with the company. On what side we are.
Lily, you're exactly right. If I could jump in for a moment, put a little footnote there, because just a few seconds ago in your dialogue, you said, what should Christians do? What are we to do? I paraphrase that But that's basically what you said. One of the things that I think we fail to recognize as Christians is, number one, we're in a war. It's a demonic war. In fact, I'm looking at an article by American Family Association. It says, I do know that God has set two paths before us, either revival or ruin. And I think we have failed to take the right path as the church. We have failed today to recognize that we are in a demonic battle. So first of all, in any battle, there must be the recognition of the enemy. Christians in America have failed to recognize the enemy. And when we look at Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verses 10 and following, the scripture talks about the battle that we're in. And let me read that 10th verse and following. Let me just drop down to verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So we have a battle. We're in the midst of the battle, and most Christians do not recognize the enemy. The enemy, number one, is Satan and all the demons of hell that's working through the hearts and the lives of the LGBTQ sodomite agenda, work through the hearts and lives of the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party, work through the hearts and lives of those that will stand against anything that's called biblical truth and allowing anything to be promulgated and pushed in a school where a child can learn the Word, stand for the Word, understand what God's Word says, have prayer, the Ten Commandments, etc. So, to answer the question, what should we do? Number one, I believe Christians need to recognize that we're in a war. We need to recognize the enemy. And by the way, the enemy, as we see it, is first and foremost the demonic deluge that's coming about as a result of Satan's desire to undermine and tear down and destroy. But it's being manifested in the hearts and the lives of those that we see today in the human flesh, the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party, the Joe Biden ilk, the LGBTQ sodomite agenda, etc., etc., etc. So what do we do when we recognize the enemy, Lily? We get armored up and wrestle against it. Verse 13 of Ephesians 6, wherefore take upon you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girded about with the truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and that your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, etc., etc., etc. We need to recognize the enemy. We need to armor up to do battle. And we need to put on the battle suit, the armament of God. And after we've done that, we don't run, we don't hide, we don't play, we stand and we face the enemy. That's the failure, in my opinion, Lily, on the part of the churches, the pastors, and Christians in general. We have failed to put on the whole armor of God. We failed to recognize the enemy. We failed to do battle as God calls us to in the scripture. So that's my challenge to the Christians today, Lily. I'm thankful for you and for your statement. You're absolutely on target with what you're saying, and I pray that what you've said will be heard and adhered to by our listeners today. Lily, thank you so much, and it's our prayer that you'd have a happy new year. God bless you for calling. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We're talking about today a warning to Christians, to churches, to pastors, to recognize the enemy and to be ready to do battle. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Hi, Dr. Youngblood.
Hey, good morning. Good afternoon.
Well, that riot, I call it a riot, was a spiritual riot. And I wonder if the Christians were ready to do battle with those demons that was inhabiting those other people. I think that we're not strong as we should be. And those things that were mentioned by you and Lily, those are truths. The church, which are the people, have become so weak. You might be called to die. You cannot be afraid of the battle when you're on the battlefield. And right now, a lot of our front line are older, and we need to come up. Because even in the churches now, that I don't go to every church. I go to my home church. But from experience, they're not even doing deliverance services. And one day there won't be no walls. And so we'll be out there in the streets, being strong for God, because
He's not going to fail us. God will never fail. And so where does the, how can we let other countries come into the United States with their God and their false God?
Terry, you've touched on a very, very, very important point. We our civil government, upper leadership in D.C., across both aisles, we've had the mistaken idea for years that their God, their religion, because basically our Constitution doesn't talk about Christian, it talks about true religion.
Yes.
So therefore, it is viewed that if it's their religion, that's okay. Let them embrace their gods. We're going to submit and surrender to it, and let their gods also have preeminence. That the creator of the world, or the God of our Bible, is the one that should have preeminence. In fact, as a result of that, Terry, let me mention this. Let me just go over some statistics for your benefit and for those listening. They will wrap up the loose ends. 15,000 churches will close in 2026. I've got a large article in relationship to the state of the church and what is happening. 15,000 churches. I'll repeat that. 15,000, not 1,500 churches across denominational lines will close in 2026. Listen to this. Only 31% of Americans see the church influence in America as important. Only 58% of Americans follow any religious beliefs. Online worship services are now preferred over the in-house church worship services. I've said, if you go worship online, when somebody in your family dies, call that online and get them to bury your husband or your wife or your family member. The millennial age group, only 4% have a biblical worldview, with 57% of that 4% believing the LGBTQ sodomite agenda is okay, homosexual marriages are okay, lying is okay if necessary. These are statistical alarming facts. The mega churches are in serious decline even today. Most are not aware of what is happening in the mega churches. Some parts of the mega churches are being closed off, cartered off, because they don't have people to go in it. They don't want to have the power on, the lights on, et cetera, because of the affordability of it. Many are absolutely imploding internally across the United States of America. Today, for the most part, pastors are not preaching against morals and ethics and values that are against the Word of God. In fact, Terry, I'll hold you for one more moment, read an article here, a portion of it, get your take on it, and then let you go. Headline, Did God Really Say? The Lutheran Church announces which Bible verses it openly condemns and wants to remove. The Evangelical Lutheran Church in America has condemned the Bible verses that it doesn't like. According to a new video, apparently in the members, its members believe that God made some mistakes along the way. They have to do with women. A spokeswoman in a video protest have to do with power, privilege, prejudice within the patriarchy. The video was a 2025 churchwide assembly. She condemned, the female pastor, condemned the contemporary Christian church for being complicit in the sins of sexism and patriarchy. And she lists Genesis 3:16, Judges 19, 1 Corinthians 11:3-16 as among those that God must have really made a mistake and meant something else. She explained that the Lutherans don't have to accept, literally, here's her statement, the female pastor, Lutherans do not have to accept the literal words of the Bible, which she alleges arose out of a society that no longer exists. One social media commentator was unsurprised at this, another reminded that the ELCA, that's Evangelical Lutheran Church, is not a Christian organization, end quote. The new statement isn't the first time the ELCA leaders have openly condemned the Word of God. That's what's happening today, Terry, in my opinion. We're finding the watering down of the gospel. Here's another headline. Are Christians watering down hell to make God more palatable? And I'll read that further, but that's where we are. We need to recognize the enemy. We need to put on the whole armor of God. We need to preach the whole truth and nothing but the truth from the Word of God. We don't need to have any exceptions. Don't leave anything out. Simply, what does the Word of God say? Preach it, teach it, and apply it is needed. And we're not doing that. We're not salt and light as churches. And God's Word says, the Lord Jesus speaking in Matthew 5, that if the salt hath lost its savor, it's good for nothing to be cast out and trodden underfoot. And in the context, he's talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it deserves our recognition. exerts our Christians being able to hear the warnings and to do something about it, turn around before it's too late. So, Terry, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. Thank you so much. May you have a happy new year. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a departure from morals, ethics, and values in our nation today. It is the church that God holds responsible. And listen, in any nation, I don't care where the nation is, what the nation is about, any nation, the nation's morals, ethics, and values will rise no higher than the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, the standard of the Word of God. The morals, ethics, and values will need reach no higher than that which is seen coming out of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's a good illustration, ladies and gentlemen. The law forbids her, U.S. Supreme Court, to hear a demand from the leftists to censor Christian counselors. The Supreme Court on Tuesday is scheduled to hear the demands from the leftists in the state of Colorado to censor the speech of Christian counselors. The state of Colorado is warning the Supreme Court to determine to say that a Christian counselor does not have the right, cannot have the freedom of speech, does not have the religious liberties to counsel a person that's in question about their sexuality, sexual gender dysphoria. Do not want that Christian counselor to be able to open the Word of God, teach the Word of God, explain that God created two sexes, male and female created he them, Genesis 1:27. The Supreme Court is to hear the case that Colorado is wanting to block the terminology, the words from God's Word that a Christian counselor can use. Listen, that's good evidence of the hatred, the demeaning of the Christian voice in the United States of America. It says in this article, those same officials repeatedly have tried to censor other Christian speech, and it goes on with the details of that. So, ladies and gentlemen, there's a need today to recognize that we're in a war, we're in a battle. It is a demonic battle, a demonic war, and Christians must get back in church. We must adhere to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. We must recognize that the apostasy has set in, and unless we wake up and know that, we're in trouble. Let me just give us, in closing, some principles that I think we need to adhere to. We need to turn back to the Bible, submit to God's Word. Believers must confess sin and ask God to hear our prayer and heal our land, 2 Chronicles 7:14. We must not surrender our faith. God is still on the throne. We must not surrender our faith to government, but to God, not to Islam, not to LGBTQ. We must be salt and light. We must not apologize for where we stand. We must recognize that God may just be judging America because we've turned our backs on God. And we need to do something about it. Need to wake up, speak up, be verbal, be victorious in the end. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600.